And I guess I'm out of time. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. Lonnie Clark is live up next. Have an awesome Monday, and I'll catch up with you tomorrow. Everybody take care.
Welcome to the Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
What a coincidence, huh?
Yeah, we'll see that more with Mr. Trump. Okay, good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. I've been told to talk by the producer. We didn't have a bumper. We ended up with a power outage, I guess, last night that sort of messed up how things work at the radio station. So I'm going to go ahead and just take directions from the producer and talk. So, good morning. Today is November 21st, 2016. You are listening to the Age of Vision radio show with Lonnie Clark and my guest today, Nancy Newell, who is an environmental and labor activist who she's been very, very active for a long time. I met her through the No Nukes Northwest organization. She's been a volunteer. And before we get any further, let me just introduce you. Thank you, Nancy, for joining us and hanging in there with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's awesome to have you with us. And as you said just now, it's kind of coincidental that we have this going on. But I think considering the administration that we're about to have, I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of these kinds of things on anybody who is an anti-nuke activist. And actually, anybody who's any kind of an activist that wants to start any kind of trouble with the status quo, I think they're not going to take it easy on us. I think we're going to be super grateful that we even had any time off. So anyways, thank you for joining me, Nancy. I want to introduce you. You were on Three Mile Island. You've had some experience with Three Mile Island. And why don't we start there? Because you've been doing this for a good long time, and you've had some excellent results, correct?
Yes, actually, we were very fortunate. After that accident, I was about 200 miles out living on the north shore of Long Island. So mm-hmm. we got some of that radiation for sure. And China Syndrome had come out with Jane Fonda and Jack Lemmon.
Mm-hmm.
And we were faced with the CIA, the FBI, as part of the cover-up of truly what went wrong at that accident. And President Carter came in and put on paper slippers and walked in radioactive water and said everything will be fine in a few more days. Actually, you know, to that effect is what he was saying, which is unfortunate because he was trained in nuclear and he knows very well to the radioactive implications of an accident like that. And so we got the Suffolk County Legislature. We were fortunate to have a Democratic legislator representing us who raised the issue and had the authority to press the state to prevent the continued building of the Shoreham nuclear plant, which was more massive than the Three Mile Island plant and had a lot of the same engineering problems that Three Mile Island. So there were thousands of people, including the Clamshell Alliance up in Vermont. We were in Unity on the same day and in New York City to march and bring attention to these problems, with the industry still saying too cheap to meter when Shoreham had already gone over the price of construction about five times what they originally estimated. And we had the good fortune of Greg Pallas just completing his studies.
You mean Greg Pallas,
giving us
investigative reporter? Excuse me, Greg Pallas, investigative reporter?
Yes.
He
wrote The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. He's exposed this recent election actually is illegal. And many illegal things were done, and they're being exposed overseas, but in the United States, very difficult to get reportage. But this can definitely be challenged and turned around before any January inaugural address. And I'm going to work on that as well, because we have a pro-nuclear individual in the name of Trump coming into the office. So it's a critical time.
Well, so is Clinton. Let's be clear.
Yes.
Clinton is pro-nuclear, too. They're all pro-nuclear.
Yeah, but be clear that that means the industry will be revitalized and the regulations will disappear. And we do have regulations that are still in force. Not as much on this old nuclear plant that we're going to talk about, but even so, that structure will be very compromised, which is really insane in the United States to have even anything of that nature happening, because what will citizens do to get these things to close down, which it's been quite an event across the U.S., one after the other, and no new nuclear plants for a long time in the United States. Well, don't count on it. So that's why I am certainly wanting to go on any public radio to discuss my own experiences and how easily it was over a long period of time, about 5-6 years before we finally stopped the Shoreham plant. But it was successful, and we can be successful even in an atmosphere like this.
And you mean that we can stop new nuclear plants from being built, like these little SMRs that they plan on building everywhere? Like, they're already starting to build them in Idaho.
Yeah, and also, well, of course, Corvallis is the research facility,
right?
University that just promoted it before our state legislature. And I think we unanimously stopped that here about a year ago. The Physicians for Social Responsibility did a tremendous job, and several other groups.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to be on our toes, and Wall Street won't even invest. I mean, they know how much debt is created, what a tremendous loss with everything that's available and all the things that they can make money on. They don't want to touch nuclear, so that's been helpful. It taught its own lesson over time, and with the assistance of Dr. Helen Caldicott out of Australia, who helped us 40 years ago on actual statistics on low-level radiation impacts. Dr. John Goffman wrote the book, An Irreverent Illustrated View of Nuclear Power, which has wonderful cartoons that still stand up. They're still very much relevant. And its short title is Irrevi, and well worth reading. Hard to find, but definitely worth reading.
You can find it on Amazon. I think I've got two or three copies. I buy these copies of Dr. John Goffman's books because I know they're going to go away. So I buy them just so that I can give them away to people who want to read them, to be honest.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah, because it's like Arne Gundersen. You know Arne Gundersen, I'm sure.
Yes, yes.
Who is Fairwind's associate. And I didn't know this until I was working on the Columbia Generating Station nuclear plant opposition recently, and we discovered that we were opposite each other during the building of the Shoreham nuclear plant on Long Island.
What do you mean?
He was the nuclear engineer that was helping construct Shoreham, and
wow.
I was on the Long Island Ratepayers association group.
Wow.
Surviving it to ever operate. Yeah.
Well, and I do have to say, Nancy,
we have such a good laugh.
We have a lot. We have several people in that I know who really are quite angry at Helen Caldicott and at Arne Gunderson and even at Chris Busby because they refuse to come out and say that what we're being told, specifically say outright, what we're being told about Fukushima is a straight up lie. Like, we're trying to be told that they're decommissioning one of these things, that they've built a facility around it, that they're cleaning it out. I mean, the whole thing that's going on over in Fukushima is a straight-up lie, and they soft-pedal it. So there's a lot of bitter – while I respect the work that they've done, I'm kind of on, you know, a typical Libra. I'm sort of on the fence with it because there's – it's obvious that we are being lied to straight out by the nuclear industry about the status of Fukushima. And yet, at the other hand –
Oh, for heaven's sake, well, I'm surprised at that. He came on, though. He was the first one to come on, Arne. When the pictures of Fukushima were shown, and he said, those are meltdowns, that's what you've got, and be prepared for a tremendous amount of radioactivity traveling through the Pacific Ocean and through the air. So he did do that on international television, and I compliment him for that because...
Look,
you know, these industries are creepy people, some of them.
Yes, and my attitude about it is I don't really want to knock anybody who's a nuke truther. Like, I understand they tiptoe around. That's why they don't come on this radio show. They don't want to be considered lunatics because I have a tendency to just say what I feel. You know what I mean? And they don't want to be like, oh, well, I'm on with that person who just says whatever. You know, they want someone to be politically correct, and that's definitely not me. So, look, let's get back to your experience with stopping this nuclear power plant, because I know that you've been very active in terms of understanding how to talk to the people who make these decisions. So maybe you can share with us some of those concepts.
Well, the interesting part is, first, you realize who's got the power. Who has the power to say Columbia Generating Station, which was called Whoops 2, they changed the name just to make it sound pretty, and who holds the power to close it? I don't know if you could guess. See if you can guess who holds the power to close it. He could close it overnight.
One person could close it overnight?
One person.
The governor? Maybe the governor of the state?
The four states involved in the Northwest requested about 13 years ago that plant should close. Who stopped it?
I don't know the one person who could stop it. I thought we couldn't stop it because there was a consortium of people.
Well, we have it headquartered right here in Portland, the Bonneville Power Administration. And I don't recall exactly who the administrator was at that point, but it was word came in. Keep it operating. He got the higher ups that told him that. And presently, Elliot Maines will not talk to me, the present Bonneville administrator, because they have failed, according to Robert McCullough's book. It's called Economic Analysis of a Columbia Generating Station. He was hired by the Physicians for Social Responsibility to show the economics alone. We shouldn't continue it because we have so many opportunities that are non-polluting, and there's no reason to continue something that is so damaged. We are risking worse than a nuclear bomb attack in our own Northwest. So, you know, Elliot Maines refuses to answer my questions as to why he, as administrator, is responsible. He has failed the market test that was set up by 14 governors 13 years ago, and they have not called attention to it, not one governor in the Northwest, and they can't. And he is responsible for closing that plant under that market test. So
there is one person?
This is what's truly, this one person,
Elliot Maines.
And, of course, under the president's direction, Elliot Maines.
And he works with the Bonneville, what'd you say it was?
He's what's called the appointed administrator.
With the NRC?
No. Bonneville Power Administration is the, you know, the group that FDR set up with the dams.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the one that started building the five nuclear plants with promoted by the governor of Washington at the time, a woman governor, Dixie Ray.
Wow.
And the only one surviving is this Whoops 2 plant, which is the Columbia Generating Station.
So,
and it's just subsidized death, basically.
Yes, it is. But
knowing
that,
death.
I've been knowing about this. I mean, actively engaged in understanding this or attempting to understand it. This is news to me. So, Nancy, I'm going to ask you to be a little bit redundant here so that people can write this down, because what we need is for people to call this guy and tell him to shut it down. So his name is Elliot Meanz, M-E-A-N-S.
I think it's M-A-I-N-Z-E, something like that. I don't have his exact spelling.
Okay, I'll look it up. And then it's called Bonneville Power Administration?
Yeah, BPA for short.
Okay. Wow.
Some people refer to it as BPA.
How many people do you think that it would take to make him move?
Well, here's the interesting part. This is shocking. After most of these groups participated with Governor Barbara Roberts and the head of the DOE, Christine Irvin, a woman for the first time, head of the state DOE of Oregon, 21 organizations, I think they're still called the Northwest Energy Coalition, will not say a word in the 2028 focus group of the Bonneville Power Administration about the operation of the nuclear plant. And if you close it, like Robert McCullough said, we'd save $100 million, we'd have cheaper electricity, we'd have cleaner electricity, we can do it overnight, and won't even talk about it. 21 environmental organizations. How do you like that?
Wow.
So I haven't been to that meeting because I am tired of being the person who looks in the room like, they accuse me as if I don't know what I'm talking about, blah, 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 blah. Not the environmental groups, but, you know, the so-called powers that be that have all this knowledge.
His name is Elliot Meanz, or M-A-I-N. I'm looking it up as you were talking. You can go to bpa.gov. And it's Elliot Meanzer, M-A-I-N-Z-E-R. You're telling me that this man could actually close the Columbia Generating Station if he decided that it needed to happen?
Yeah, Robert McCullough, who is a leading economist for the world on energy policy, is hired every day. You know, he's way overworked. Yes, he told me that, yes, according to the laws, he could. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you know, there, of course, would be all kinds of battles, just as there were. If they bankrupted the whole financial public power, 27 public utilities in the Northwest involved went bankrupt and are paying 15% of their bills still on that Whoops debacle of the 5 nuclear plants, and 2 of them, I don't think, never got built. 4 and 5 never got built, finally. And Congressman DeFazio told the story about walking into the courtroom to keep Eugene Water and Electric Board out of the whole Bonneville contract on the nuclear plant. And he came in with his blue jeans on, this is before he was a congressman, and with his friend, who was a lawyer as well, his blue jeans, you know, and his sports coat, and they all came in, about 20 lawyers, and they beat him in court that there's no reason that EWEB would have to be forced to join into that contract. So he was a visionary and a critic for years as a congressman to prevent a lot of this development of nuclear, thank goodness.
Well, I think that really we are now part of that. I know that we do get, I think it's 4% of our energy here in the Willamette Valley from the Columbia Generating Station. Wow. That is, this is a thing that people don't understand. The Columbia Generating Station is a clear and present danger to the entire nation, not just Northwest, because the wind goes west, east, west to east. You know, it's headed their way. There's no other way to go. I want to hand out this phone number. I did just look it up, so people can contact Elliot Meanzer. That's M-A-I-N-Z-E-R. And that phone number is 800-282-3713, so that people can call him and tell him to shut down the Columbia Generating Station, which I'm going to start a little campaign now. I have been told, I've been covering this for just a few years, I'm kind of late on the bus here, and I was told that there's a whole consortium, like 58 people, that it's super complicated, that you can't really close down the Columbia Generating Station very quickly. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, it can be done overnight practically. And, of course, the people in the Tri-Cities area, believe it or not, I called the birth center that's in the Hanford area. I called the woman that heads it up, and she would not talk to me about the radioactive impacts. And there is now an 83% increase documented in the Hanford area of breast cancer in women.
Wow.
There are mutations in children born in that area.
Wow.
And people will not speak up. You know, I mean, it just mystifies me that they would accept that kind of horrific result and still not want to. And it's the single, the fourth single largest growing cities, Kennewick, in the Tri-Cities in the United States, because of the amount of money people are working on cleaning up the waste. That's one of the contributors. So it's not quite comprehensible to me that people would move into that area in the first place and then not participate in closing down that old plant that makes the whole nuclear industry look horrible. You know, I mean, it just goes up and down. It's set a record on the number of times it's gone down. And when you, Arne Gundersen told me this, when you go up and down with a nuclear plant, you put stress on parts that you can't even see or read in some of the sophisticated methods they have to follow the plant's operation.
Wow.
So we're really dealing with an earthquake fault plant. It's sitting on a major earthquake fault they've discovered, and it's designed like Fukushima. It will not be able to be cooled down. It will be a massive meltdown, just like Fukushima.
Wow.
And people are denying this and continuing operating it. And we have answers for that area. I mean, Maria Cantwell helped Robert McCullough expose Enron Corporation, which took over the PGE operations for a while. And I went to the PUC and fought that, and we won that one with their corruption. But, you know, these cycles continue, and we still are able to fight back. You know, because they got rid of the nuclear plant, Enron bought it after they got rid of their nuclear plant, Trojan, and I had to say, well, be careful how you ask for and what you ask for so you don't get a situation like Enron.
Wow.
And, of course, Ken Lay died mysteriously in Texas, the CEO of the corporation. And Greg Pallas was one of the key people in London that worked with me on exposing them, and so did Robert McCullough. He got the double books exposed, Robert McCullough, and he lives here in Portland. Enron's double booking and lying to all the commissions that regulate pricing. With the grid, we are the headquarters of the single largest electrical grid in the world that goes all the way from northern Washington down to the border of Mexico. So we are in a pivotal position. And we can certainly help the world and those industries by getting rid of this old plant. And not only that, the nuclear waste. Did you hear about WIP? You know, that waste isolation project? I can't remember all the exact name of it. It just blew three times in New Mexico.
Oh,
three
yeah.
Explosion.
Waste isolation processing plant.
Hello? Yeah. Hello? Hello? Why are you producing more every day? Why?
Well, you know, our esteemed Senate just had a hearing about the urgency of keeping. Are we going to keep? This was the theme of the hearing was, are we going to keep our nuclear energy industry alive? And they had witnesses that said it's very expensive, and it's far more expensive, they're finding, than what other forms were. But I firmly believe that they're going to just invest heavily. I think they're so far invested that there's nothing that's going to stop them. I mean, look at what we've got here with the Columbian Generating Station. So you don't agree?
I don't agree. I don't agree that we're not going to stop them. We've already stopped them. It's a matter of keeping them at bay. And we killed them in the state legislature last year with that Corvallis group, NuScale, the French company that now is going near bankrupt in France because everything's showing up as far as expense, even though they build uniform nuclear plants. They didn't have the problems that we've had here. They are in serious trouble, New Scale. So they come here with a little project and pull the wool over the eyes of the governor here, and it's just something that's it's just a subsidy program of a dinosaur. It's dead. It's done. It's over. And it's worse, of course, than a dinosaur because they left their bones. And what does the nuclear industry leave? A 500,000 years worth of radiation, not good for anything. So it doesn't make any sense, and it's very expensive, and nobody is full-front addressing it at this stage, and they should be. From the environmental groups should immediately sign on to closure at Bonneville. Every time they go to that focus meeting, that should be the first thing up front, and it's not even listed in the plan. How do you like that? How do you like that? The 2028 projection is not, it's not listed, that I've been told. I haven't seen the full plan myself.
How do we get it listed? How do we pressure them to get it listed? Do we talk to this gentleman, Mr. Mainzer?
Mains, yeah. And you also talk to the Northwest Energy Coalition group and say, hey, get it on there. They're all about global warming. Well, guess what? This is not going to solve global warming by keeping that plant operating. No way. And we have so many alternatives, and you would add $100 million, according to Robert McCullough, in his latest analysis, would be saved if they hadn't started up that plant again. And that could all go to solving the energy and solving the waste. No more waste.
Yeah, well, so, that's the industry. That's the burgeoning industry.
And those groups have to be held accountable, too. Those groups have to be held accountable for being silent.
Well, you know, I contacted the NRDC, the National Resource Defense Fund, and because I saw that I had read an article about that they were working with the Illinois legislature to keep open two ailing nuclear power plants. And off the air, I had a conversation with them about their position was that their whole focus is to shut coal, that they would rather have two ailing nuclear power plants than coal, that they don't like nuclear, but they think it needs to be phased out in a slower way so that we can get off of coal. You know, although they did have an $11 million contribution from somebody that they wouldn't tell me who it was on their on their 990 form, you know. So this is a dirty industry, not just with the waste, but it's dirty in how it harms people's souls and how it's dirtying up their minds for greed.
Yeah, well, and Arne Gundersen has a response to that whole thing about nuclear. Oh, we'll slowly phase it out because we need it because of global warming from gas plants. Well, he just proved they will spend this kind of activity $8 trillion to keep these things going and to add, if they add some more. $8 trillion, and how much carbon emissions will they reduce? 6%, and we'll all be dead. I mean, we'll all be in horrendous weather conditions. This is the stupidity of these kind of arguments. And this is what should be down at the Bonneville Power Administration today, this report. So I will be delivering it this week. And they have got to stop this like they did with us on Long Island. The CIA, the FBI, the 20 executives of the Long Island Lighting Company, and lying to the public.
Wow.
Lying, blatantly lying, and taking subsidies of hundreds of millions of dollars and creating problems that go on for 500,000 years. Now, come on. Come on. This is enough. We've had enough. And if Fukushima doesn't prove to people right in their faces that this stuff doesn't work and you are killing the future of anybody existing on this planet, I don't know what would. I don't get it. I don't get it. And it's an American corporation that designed and built those and convinced the Japanese to run them, to buy them and run them. Yeah. So we are complicit, and we deny that complicity. How do you like that? So,
yeah.
You know, as you can tell, I'm pretty dedicated to this because it simply doesn't make any sense. And it's so destructive, so vastly destructive.
It is really vastly destructive. So you said you're going to take this down to the Bonneville meeting?
I will take it down to the administrator's office first and put it on a file there. They'll let me in the door. They have to do that at least and make sure that the administrator has received it. I don't know if they will allow me in the 2028 focus process. They refuse to return my phone calls. And I don't see what their purpose is because I don't go away. I've proven that over 40 years now. I'm 69 years old, and I ain't going to stop. Just as Dr. Helen Caldicott doesn't stop. Just as Arne Gundersen doesn't stop. You know, we don't believe in a negative future. We want to give our children a positive future. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, well, you know, there's not, I mean, this is the issue, is that their whole attitude, they don't return our phone calls, and it goes all the way down the line. I know I have been attempting to contact my own water and board administrator here in Eugene, who is on the Willamette Utility Board, and I do not get a phone call. I've called and sent emails, and they just, it's like they just don't hear you. The earplugs are in, and they just plan on ignoring us until they kill the planet. I don't comprehend what their process is.
Yeah.
But you say success. So how did you achieve this success? When you told me that earlier before we spoke, you said that you had gone onto Three Mile Island, and you were instrumental in getting a nuclear power plant that was going to be built from being built. Why don't you explain?
It was actually almost fully completed because we kept fighting for it not to be completed, but they still foolishly went ahead and with the subsidies, they figured, well, we're going to make money anyway. And that's what they want. They will build plants that never operate and make money. That's the weird part.
That's what they did in Tennessee.
But Governor Mario Cuomo stepped in, and he stood on his ground, and we had met with him, and he said there is no way to evacuate Long Island, and that is a requirement by FEMA. I, as governor, have to abide by the law, and this plant will never be allowed to operate.
Wow.
And it never did. Yeah. And you know what they had the gall to do illegally, Lilco? They low-power tested it after that ruling was upheld.
What does that mean?
That's how arrogant these people are. That is how arrogant and destructive they are. And we have an atmosphere coming back at us with this kind of attitude. And I will not tolerate it. I will not tolerate it. And I think people should just get on the phone and protect their kids for heaven's sake. If you don't care about your own lives, for heaven's sake, stand up, you know?
Yeah, well, so few people make these phone calls. I mean, it's easy to call this number. Let me give the name out, because this is something that we really need to do, is close down the Columbia Generating Station. We need to speak with Elliot Mainzer, M-A-I-N-Z-E-R, and that phone number is 800-282-3713. And I'm encouraging anyone who listens to this to please give this gentleman a call and tell him that we need to close down the Columbia Generating Station immediately. It is a clear and present danger to the entire nation, frankly. I mean, it is only 15 miles away from Hanford Nuclear Waste Site, right, Nancy?
Yeah.
Which means if they had a meltdown, nobody could get into Hanford to take care of that stewing mess that goes on there.
No. So, and, you know, all the communities, all the agriculture, you know that is the location of the grain for the microbrew business in the Northwest.
Wow.
Now, what will happen to them? Yeah. You would think that McManamas, all those people, would be on the phone right now demanding that this plant be closed. Because that's a huge industry in the Northwest. You would think the governors. Four governors told the Bonneville somewhere around 13 years ago, we don't want this plant, and they were turned away.
But
why aren't we fighting as hard as they fought?
You know what, though, Nancy? A lot of this has to do with the fact that a lot of the people in charge and a lot of the, like, you talk to a nuclear scientist, they'll tell you that we are just off our rockers, that of course nuclear is just not that harmful. Yes, it has long-term effects, but it's not that often and not that many are affected, and it's worth the risk. That's exactly what they, people look at me like I'm a complete, they actually tell me this, like, Fukushima's fine. The government's moving people back there. And all this idea about there's children dying over there is just a lie. That it's not true that
yeah.
people are fine in Fukushima. In fact, would we have the baseball administrator of the International Baseball Commissioner saying, yeah, we're going to, do you know that in 2020 they plan on having the world, their baseball competition in Fukushima Prefecture?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just see
yep.
how many heart attacks of those guys. I mean, this is the problem. There,
it is a problem.
I spoke to a gentleman who is working on creating a plot chart. He's studying. He's staying calladito. He's not talking about anything till he gets his plot chart completed. It's a 5-year study mm-hmm. that he's doing. Of all the athletes on the West Coast, up and down the West Coast at all the universities, and he's studying how many of those young athletes who are out in the air all the time are having heart attacks. That's his specific look.
Yeah.
Because see, we
yeah.
know cesium-137 goes after your heart, right? So, and he said the spike, he's like every year, I think he plans on coming out in 2017, and I hope it does get, I hope he will
yeah.
be out there with it. But it
well,
is.
Well, you know, the energy, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead, you go ahead, please.
Oh, okay. Well, Energy Northwest, that's the group of the, now there is a good result. Seattle has pulled off of that contract. They're pulling off that contract gradually because they got a manager out of Austin, Texas, who knows solar, who knows wind. He's very capable, and they are going the direction with the election of Suwant, I think is how you say her name. She's the commissioner now in the Seattle City Council, and they oversee the Seattle City Light Public Power Group, and they were partners in the plant, and they are maneuvering very quickly to get off that electricity and use alternatives with our new manager. That is the biggest segment of payment for Bonneville Power on the CGS plant. And that's Vancouver is the second largest user. So that's a big switch right now. And it's having economic impact, and nobody's talking about that. And Seattle is moving forward rapidly on energy efficiencies, solar, wind, and all kinds of different plans that the book, I don't know if you've heard of it, that Arjun Makajani put out called Carbon Free and Nuclear Free, a Roadmap for U.S. Energy Policy, and he was hired by Carter, and he's the one that helped put on the solar panels on the White House, and he's still got his institute, and he says we could easily do this with algae and all kinds of things. So, the entire country. So, why wait? And so Seattle's no longer waiting. And we went off Trojan years ago, and thank goodness for Ken Harrison, who was a private utility person, and recognized the cost of fixing that old nuclear plant with the broken pipes. And after a lot of public pressure, and he saw that his own company was going to suffer, he got off it. Unfortunately, Enron came in, and they were vulnerable, and Enron came and took over without that nuclear plant operating because it was a nice deal, access to the grid so that they could then cut off power to senior citizens in California in a heat wave. And they got caught by Robert McCullough from Portland, Oregon. So this whole area has so many positive things that we've done. This is one thing we really should do now. And it's easily done. We have all these experts that have proven things over time. And Germany, a woman leader, is 4 energy plants. 4 of them are nuclear. She's in the process of closing them. Why isn't our governor, Kate Brown, like Barbara Roberts, and the head of the DOE saying, of our state DOE, that's it's over. That one doesn't operate efficiently. It's polluting. It gives us waste. We have no place to put, especially after the whip thing has failed. Take care of it. Get it done. This is something that people would love to see done. And it creates jobs. This has been proven time and again. Arjun has released a report on all in that book, Carbon Free, Nuclear Free. You don't have to suffer natural gas global warming problems. There's all kinds of answers. So let's get going in the state of Oregon. We've proven it in the past. Let's do it again.
You know, you inspire me, Nancy. Thank you. I mean, I have to say, I've kind of gotten jaded because there's been so much negative response to anything about nuclear since I've been engaged in this. But, you know, thank you for reminding me that our activism actually is very effective and that it really does matter how much effort we put into it. And all it does
certainly
take,
does.
It does take, I mean, how much sustaining effort did it take for you when you worked in New York to keep that plant from being closed down? How long was your sustaining effort process done from start to finish? How long did it take you to sustain your effort till you actually accomplished a goal of having that plant stopped?
6 years.
So 6 years to save the planet, 6 years of effort to save the planet.
Yeah, and I've not stopped as I've advised people throughout the world. And, you know, my friends have all done this. Ed Smella, Sacramento is mostly solar. They got off a nuclear plant, and for a whole month, he had two small children, he and his wife. Their lives were in danger, and they had to have security for a whole month when he was chair of the utilities and SMUD, Sacramento Municipal Utility District. And they took all that risk, and they closed that plant, and they're proving it every day. Molten salt will store it, you know, and all these different balances of wind, and you can do it with energy efficiencies, and why not? Why not us? So
wow,
people have risked their lives and their families' lives, and this is the kind of effort we need. We cannot tolerate this anymore.
You are so right.
And we have to, yeah.
Explain that again. You said, now, who was this who had to hire security? Because all you say these things as if it's like, I know that you've been engaged in it, but my ears perk up when you say the director of a utility agency had to hire private security when he moved to get them off of nuclear. Is that what you just said?
Well, they established a public utility district by ballot called Sacramento Municipal Utility District. They had a nuclear plant operating, and they figured out how to get off it. And once they figured it out, he was chair of that utility, and they knew he was one of the key factors in getting it shut. And so his life was threatened. I was threatened on a cable radio show during the Trojan, acting on the Trojan nuclear plant closure. And it was by a worker that was very frustrated, and I told him when I walked out of the cable office, I took the phone call, I said, well, yeah, you can kill me, but you're going to kill me anyway. So what's the difference?
Right, exactly.
You know? What's the difference? Do I want to suffer breast cancer? I don't think so.
Right.
Do I want my children to suffer breast cancer? I don't think so, you know? I mean, what are you giving me here? So this was a very strong family. His wife was totally supportive with their two young children, and they withstood it. And he didn't have to hire himself personally. The SMUD hired for him to protect him. And they accomplished it. And now two other counties are totally solar and wind in California. Major counties. Marin County, and I can't remember the other one. Yeah. And it's growing. And my friend wrote the book, Who Owns the Sun? I brought him up. His name is Dan Berman. And he was recently a commissioner of the Public Utility Regulatory Agency in California. And their town has got its own public utility now, Davis. So it's growing, and they can't stop it. They can't stop us, and they can't stop it. And you notice that in this election, which states?
Are you there?
There is no question that this election should be challenged. That's how dangerous, and, you know, the nuclear power advancement that they want is all part of it. So
say that again, because we sort of missed you. That whole thought skipped a minute.
Okay.
Repeat that.
Greg Palast has already proven they illegally removed 2 million voters that were Latino and Black across the country. And he showed the methods that they used to disappear these voters. They don't count the absentee ballots of the military. They have to be accounted for. Then the voting machines, and it has been stated by Epic Times, which is free here in Portland, which comes from Hong Kong, and everybody in the world knows that they can make a vote, a fraction of a vote in those machines. And if you look at the map of where Trump won and the pattern, it just seems illogical. that it would be that consistent the way it stands out. So we were able to get through all this and at least have popular vote for Hillary, not that there's a real bargain there, but, you know, in some things there is. So
why would that be better in terms of the nuclear industry? Why is Hillary Clinton? See, I don't really actually see a difference. My understanding is that Hillary Clinton is super pro-nuclear.
No, she has changed her position, and she realizes that investors, if she wants the banks to be happy, which she does, that instead of getting subsidies, they'd rather show the profits and not end up in jail. So they want the alternatives, and they're all very easy to do in the United States. So she is very much leaning towards and putting in place where she can those kind of operations rather than nuclear. She is nuclear war. I mean, she is, you know, known to be a, she doesn't want to, but she is a war hawk. She is not healthy, and I don't think, in her attitude on that, but definitely on the energy end of it, it would have been a benefit. And we're going to see more and more pushback from the nuclear industry and plans on the table, serious plans to build new nuclear plants in the U.S.
That's true. We just had a hearing where they're like making this decision. You should have heard the hearing. It was really interesting because there were experts who were saying it's costly. We don't know about it. I mean, it was the first time I'd heard when they were like actually in a hearing saying it's too expensive or it could be considered too expensive. And the pushback from the senators, there was pushback from the senators who were there just to have an open mind and get information about why we really needed it was, you know, you can look at this. It's on C-SPAN. It's a pretty interesting little hearing. But I think you're absolutely right. But I don't, I mean, I kind of don't see a line between Clinton and Trump on this one. I just don't, maybe it's just because I hate her, to be honest. Like, I'll just tell you, I think she's evil.
Well, let me just. Let me tell you the experience I've had with the Clintons. Enron was introduced by Bill Clinton, and Hillary was very much in support of it, that it take over Portland General Electric. So I'm not fond of that family, believe me. But, yeah, I mean, they were exposed, and, you know, I think that's part of the reason that Hillary didn't get more votes in other states and is not trusted. You know, that's part of it. But, yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it's not an easy choice, but I think that the more we can have the opportunity to push back on all the uglies, the better we're going to do.
Yeah.
And we don't have to be at the mercy of these so-called controlling powers. The four governors right now could step up and tell the Bonneville administrator, hey, you're not meeting the market test. We're going to take you to court. They could do that, too. You know? They're not. So are the courts going to hold it? I have no idea. But with the appointment that Trump wants for the Supreme Court, oh my God, the U.S. Supreme Court, oh my, oh, the history of these people, oh, it's horrible. So, I you know, you weigh these things and hope for the best, but
yeah, we do have to hope
for this.
And I think it really matters for us to push back. I think these phone calls do matter. Like making the phone calls to the governors of these states, making this phone call to Elliot Mainzer. And I appreciate the fact that you said it took you 6 years because that gives people perspective on how long it really does take to make a change. It's not like you're going to get actively engaged in 1 year or 2 years and then they're going to say, oh, yeah, we have to close it down. We have to like be persistent for a long time. In our minds, that's a long time. It's less than a decade, actually, which is not that long when you consider how long nuclear waste damages our environment.
Yeah. Here's an interesting twist in history in New York. His son, Mario Cuomo, who did assist us in closing or stopping the operation of the plant, the Shoreham plant, nuclear plant, his son is now governor of New York. And he's insisting on the Indian Point plant be closed because it's very dangerous. And global warming, the waters are, temperatures are increasing, so you can't cool them if it gets to a certain temperature all around the world. You can't cool a nuclear plant. So He's very active on the Indian plant plants, but interestingly, I think there are two or three plants near the Buffalo area, and he's not acting aggressively. I think they're called 9 Mile nuclear plants, on closing those. Now, why is that? So it's just this really odd mix of what their political considerations are, you know. I still don't understand it, but
because yeah, me either.
Once you get it in, it proves itself every time. Once you close one of those things, it proves itself every time. I mean, the waste alone, the waste treatment, these people are going to have jobs till forever. Their kids and their kids and their kids, you know.
Well, I don't think we've actually even dealt with the industry that could be developed from managing the waste. I have not heard of a real industry that is attempting to find the solution on what do we do with this stuff and how to neutralize it. Like, they've just sort of thrown up their hands and gone, well, there's nothing we can do about it. I genuinely believe that there must be a solution. There must be a solution.
Yeah, well, stop producing it for one thing. That'll help a lot. And put the money into the research. You know what they found, and I don't know if this is real or not, maybe you can check into this, but some fellow came up with a mushroom combination mm-hmm. that cleans up the oil in the Gulf from mm-hmm. the
awful microbes, yeah.
BP spill. Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty solid science.
We just haven't found it.
That's pretty solid science, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's got to be, you know, I still believe that there's a way that at least it can be slowed down something. I don't know. But creative and you know, we have all the ability to keep looking at it as long as you spend the money on it. But they spend the money creating it, not solving the problem. It's like the boys that never used to want to carry out the garbage. Oh, that's not related to nuclear. We don't have to worry about that. You know, it's a complete. I heard you're not going to believe this story. I go to the 26 members now of the Energy Northwest and testify at their big meetings, right? So I made a really good testimony, I thought. You can get about 5 minutes. And one of the fellows came over. He was impressed, and he wanted to impress me of what he did when he saw Fukushima and what he told the people there. He said that they used bicycles during the Fukushima accident to alert people what was happening. And he bragged that he would use an SUV. Well, excuse me, the conditions for driving an SUV through that mess? This is someone in the state of Washington that thinks he can solve a problem that way. That makes me worry. That's, you know.
Yeah, that the leaders. Well, I mean, that is exactly right. This is exactly what we're up against.
Oh, my goodness. This is what he said. Yeah. That was his brilliant idea. Oh, don't worry. We can handle an accident like that. Oh, I'm sure you could. Boy. Meanwhile, the Navy ship pulls back. The Navy ship that was in the area pulled way the heck back from that accident.
Yeah.
So
they're in litigation, that Navy ship. They're still in litigation. They're not even being able to get, they're just barely being able to figure out if they can actually, who they can sue. This is the thing. This is what the nuclear industry does, is they delay. Like, it's that tactic of let's just push it all back legally and wait for everybody to die.
Yeah.
And there's nobody
to sue. Did you hear that zap? Did you hear that zap?
No.
Oh, somebody tapping my phone maybe.
Yeah, but, no doubt. No doubt. Thank you, Nancy,
okay.
for getting
Tap
us
away. That. Tap away. Yeah. But, yeah, I think
we should start cussing
so many opportunities.
Right now.
What's that?
We should start cussing right now if we're going to be tapped.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. Yeah. We're not really afraid of them. I mean, you were actually right. Like, there's nothing really to be afraid of because they're killing us anyways. I mean, unless we get actively engaged, I mean, we're actually fighting for our children's future, not for ours, because right now we already we've been exposed, and we're fighting to find solutions so that in the future our children can have a clean planet again.
Yeah, and only that, when we're faced with Fukushima's, what else are we going to do? You know, I mean, who's kidding who here?
Right.
It's not the fault of the Japanese. It's the fault of the Americans that designed the thing and lie. Come on. They were handed an impossible situation, and they did the best they could. And to criticize them? Oh, my goodness. Who are we? Who are these people? So, It's something that, you know, till my last breath, I'm going to say these things. That's it. And I think that, you know, the people that are marching today, more power to them. More power to the young people that are out there talking about things that aren't being talked about. I love that. I think it's great. You know, and some people, they get a little destructive. That's very unfortunate. And you wonder, you know, what the situation is when that happens. But I don't condone always nonviolence. I've believed in it since the Vietnam War. I argued for it since the Vietnam War. And I go to schools and advise students on their alternatives to signing up for the military. So I believe deeply in that as well. And the nuclear industry does feed the nuclear weapons industry. So
that's, well, they go good. Hand in hand. That's the issue. And especially now that our government is using depleted uranium weapons as kind of standard fare. All of our soldiers that go overseas shooting off depleted uranium weapons, they're being exposed to nuclear waste.
Yeah, and we've radiated the Middle East with the bombs that we've dropped in Iraq and Syria and all those different places,
And we've irradiated our own soldiers. I mean, that's – Leon Panetta actually hinted to that right before he left office. I heard him give a speech about how we – he said something about we're helping our soldiers deal with the unusual trauma of having been in the – in the Middle East. And the unusual trauma is that they're coming back and they're getting cancer. Their children are having deformities. They're having issues. That this is why the suicide rate is so high among the men and women that come back, because it's an unspoken catastrophe that no one is talking about. And you can't get them to talk about it because it's military and they're all sworn to secrecy.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. I really appreciate you coming on, Nancy. I hope that you can come back with us. We've got a few minutes left. And this information, and I want to thank you for encouraging us and, you know, encouraging us to keep on keeping on, because it does get disheartening. How many years have you been actively a nuke truther? How long have you been attempting to get this information out there?
At least 40 years. Yeah.
Really?
And then getting the results too, which is really tremendous. The effort by so many different groups that do take on the big boys and all that and the lies, there are successes and they have good results. So that makes me realize that, you know, you don't need 1,000, you don't need so many people that initiates it, but the word gets out and boy, it spreads. And that's what we want to do. We want to get those good news out. We don't want any more of this darkness. Get out of the darkness. We don't need it. We don't want it. And that's what I've dedicated my life to.
Thank you. Thank you. And we really need that. We need everybody to hear that message, get out of the darkness, that we really, that there are answers and there are solutions. So look, you know what? The time has escaped us. It's gone quite fast. We've got like 30 seconds left. So thank you, Nancy, for joining me.
Okay.
I really appreciate it. It's really
I appreciate
been awesome.
Your show.
Yes. Thank you for joining us. And you know what? I hope everybody who's listening to today's show will take this to heart. Take action. It does matter. Nancy's been engaged in this, and we have made progress, so let us not demean the progress that we've made. So please do put your courage feet on. Thank you, Nancy Newell, for joining us. I hope to have you back. Put your courage feet on.
You're
take action, you guys, and we will talk with you again tomorrow. I'm on every day now. Talk to you later.
Okay, I'm looking for about a week an answer that they're going to close it. Okay, bye.